All right. There you go.
And I just want to let you know before you sit down, you're special. You know, I don't know, don't let your wife tell. No. Yeah. She said you were extremely special, so that's good. Anyways, are you guys excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Are you excited to hear what God has for you? I believe God has given me a special word for each person this morning. My message kind of has like two titles because we have the overarching moving forward, but I would honestly, Pastor asked me as we were putting things together, he said, I need a title other than moving forward because that's the actual title of the message. So I was like, okay. And so actually the real title of my message this morning is Don't Look Back. Don't look back and because we'll get there. But this morning I want to just emphasize I'm moving forward. Can we just start saying that out loud this morning? I'm moving forward. Because in Proverbs 18:21 it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Sometimes you might not feel like moving forward, amen? Sometimes you don't feel it in your spirit, but I'm going to tell you this morning, if you can wake up this morning and say, I'm moving forward, you will see a shaking in your spirit where you'll start to see your feet start to follow the things that you say. Amen? I believe God is going to help us move forward this morning. But Pastor was talking to me, and we were talking about the message, and he was like, where are you going to go with this message? And I was like, I want to talk about this. And he goes, that's so funny. I was preaching last week. And he goes, and I felt like I wanted to go off on a rabbit trail, but God stopped me, and I didn't want to go there. And it's funny that God has you now going there. And you didn't know that at the time that I had already written the sermon, so I'm glad God stopped you because I'd had to rewrite it. Amen. But in Genesis 19, verse 17, you have an interesting scenario going on. A very, very interesting scenario. You have Abraham, that's who we've been talking about, and then you have his relative Lot. Well, Lot and his wife and his family moved to Sodom and Gomorrah in this very, I would just label it, sin city. Everything was available, anything you wanted to do. It was just bad. It was so bad that God said, I'm getting ready to destroy this city. And Abraham goes to God multiple times, and this is a very interesting dialogue that God has allowed Abraham to even have with him. God, if there's only 20 righteous in that city, will you destroy it? And God goes, no, I won't destroy it if it's 20. And then he keeps going back, and they keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, all the way to one. Because I feel like Abraham is like us. We're like, God, are you sure? Because, you know, when you destroy something, you're like, God, is everybody, you know, bad here, you know, because we want to know the heart of God. And Abraham, you know, God says, yes, Abraham, if there was just one in the city, I won't destroy it. So I just want to state that before we move on, that God's heart is always for mercy and love and grace, all the way down to just one. Just one. That is the heart of our God. But in Genesis, you have this situation where angels approach Lot's family, and they're getting him out of the city because men are trying to come and be with these angels, sleep with these angels. But this weird scenario happens where the angel says in Genesis 19:17, it says, as soon as they brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. And then Genesis 19:26, but wife's Lot looked back and died. I've come to speak to you this morning to tell you that if you are going to move forward, you must stop looking back. If you want what God has for you this morning, we can't keep looking back. Well, what are you saying? The message here is what Lot is saying, or what with Lot's family is, what did she look at? Why did she die? Because, you know, there are things in my life that I look back on that helped me thrust forward to live. One of them being my testimonies. And I'm not saying this morning that not looking back on the good things is bad. What I'm saying is what she looked at was bad. So I want to make that clear this morning that it's what you're looking back on that's going to kill you. Because what she was looking back on was her love for the city. She joined herself to the destruction because her heart was not in the right place. So this morning, what I'm talking about is it's when you look back on your past and you have this shock and awe and love for the things that you used to have in your past. And in order for us as a church, we must move forward. I am going to move forward. This church is moving forward. And if you're not careful, the world is passing away daily. And I don't want to get caught up in that wave because we just talked about it. God is getting ready to come back. But he might not come back before your death date. And I want to be ready in moving forward in the plans that I have, that God has for us. And I don't want to be caught up and left to that judgment. We need to move forward. The past can become a snare. Oh, I always hear this all the time. You ever hear people talk, about their glory days? You know, We all went here, you know, over there we partied there, and over there we did that, and over there we did that, and oh man, can't talk about that. And you almost hear it, like, I don't know about many of you guys, but growing up in church, it'd be a scary thing to hand the mic and ask somebody to testify over their life. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it would almost be like they would get up and just share this whole thing. I did this, I did this, I did this. And you're like, everybody's in the altar going, I didn't need to know that, you know, and just wow, and all these things. And it's like, then you get to the part where it's like, and Jesus saved my life, amen. And then they go to their chair. And you're like, but what about your life being a new creation in Christ Jesus? The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And I'm telling you, if you have had change in your life by Jesus Christ, then the track record now should be everything opposite in moving and marching in the new direction that God has for you. And of course, the devil would have you try and look over your shoulder at what you used to be and how you used to act and how you used to dress. And God is saying, get your head out of that, because I have made you seated in heavenly places. I have you. You are a priestly nation. Hallelujah. That the devil does not have any new tricks. Ever since Pastor asked me to preach, I have come this morning to put the devil on notice, because he doesn't have any new tricks. He just kind of wants to keep your head cocking over your shoulder and looking at what you used to be. And I come to declare to you this morning, if you are in Christ Jesus, that does not exist in the mind of God no more. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has led me to dare you this morning. Do you want my Jeremiah 29:11 for your life? I feel it in my bones. God is coming this morning and peeking over and saying, do you want it? Do you want my life? Do you want me to prosper you? Do you want this hope and a future that I have for you? Because if you don't want it, you will not get it. If you want to move forward this morning, you have to want it. Do you want to move forward this morning? Do you want the plans that God has for you? Do you want the hope? Do you want the future? If you want it, then take it, because God is coming this morning to lay it out for you to take. Do you want to move forward? I remember when God changed my life, and it was right before a Sunday morning. I got to the lowest that I could possibly get, and I was like, I can't keep living like this. I want to do this, but I keep doing this. Amen? Everybody been there? I'm like, I know I want to be married, and I want this, but I'm like, this relationship, and I would pray, and I'm seeking God, and it was like right before Sunday where I was at my lowest, and I'm like, So I decided to pray. It was probably the craziest prayer I ever prayed in my life. I always hear in church, be careful what you pray for. But honestly, I don't want you to be careful what you pray for. I be serious in what you pray for. And I believe that when you get serious, God is like, thank you. Now I can answer your prayer, because you're now for real. And so I get down on my knees and I pray, God, I don't care what you have to do. Change my life. Break me, make me, mold me, get the bad people out of my life that keep directing my path. Do what you have to do. And I wrote this on a little sticky note and put it in my little prayer room. I stuck it on the wall and I left it there. On Sunday morning, this lady, the message was just perfect. The lights was perfect. I mean, the message the pastor was preaching, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was talking to me. Anybody ever have that happen? Where you're like, did the pastor just go through all my mail, read all my text messages, and read all my emails? Because, man, he's talking to me. And I swear, I didn't know how, I knew how church worked. I grew up in church. You can grow up in church and not really be fully there, and that was me. I loved God. I've been around it, but there's a moment where you say, no, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And I remember going up to the altar, because I knew there was an altar call. He didn't even ask for an altar call. I was crying in the aisle, and I just started drifting up to the altar, and I just fell down right at the altar. And a lady comes up and she starts praying for me. And she starts to read my prayer off the wall and says, God is getting ready to drive out all the bad things out of your life. And just starts reading, and I'm like, you know, I was looking hit. And I needed help. And sure did I, when I got up out of that altar, change happened. I got up. I started calling people. I said, if we're done, you know. I started blocking people on my Facebook. I started blocking people on my phone. I said, I don't even want an opportunity for you to call me. I had people run into me and go, hey, man, I've been trying to call you. You have? You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what happened. You know. But the Holy Spirit started directing me and leading me. And I've come to speak to you this morning that if you want to move forward, God is saying, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's move forward. Let's move forward. And when you get serious in your mind to say, God, I'm your man. I'm your woman. I will move forward. God is this morning extending his hand to take you. But he is a gentleman. He will not make you. He will not make you. I'll tell you a funny story. So one time I was really, really trying to impress my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. And it was right after church service. It had snowed like crazy. You know how these plow trucks push up these really big mounds of snow, especially here in Kodiak. You guys don't know nothing about that. But at least in Michigan, there was a good-sized mound, maybe not an Alaskan-sized mound. But I drive a Jeep now, but I swear this Jeep was not a good Jeep. But I didn't know that. You know, I'm in this car with my wife. I see this parking spot. It's got this nice mound. And I'm like, all right, I don't know what came over me, but I was like, I'm gonna park there, you know? You know those Jeep people that are parked up on these hiked up mountains? You're like, what an idiot, you know? That was me, you know? So I'm with my wife I'm trying to impress her. And I don't know why guys try to do weird things to impress a woman, but that was for me, you know, for her. And she's shaking her head because that's exactly what happened. So as we're driving up onto this mound, I get up on there and I'm like, this is great, you know, this is awesome. I'm helping her out of the car. We've got a, you know, foot of snow in, but we walk into the church. Good, good, right? She gets a text. This is where it starts to go south. She gets a text. She's like, oh, I got to go into work early. We're in the middle of church. We're in praise and worship. Hallelujah, you know. And then she texts me, oh, I got to go to work early. And I was like, okay, no problem. I'll drive you to work. We get out to the car, you know, and then I click it on. Tire. And I'm like, it's good, hon. I drive a Jeep. You know? Cocked it in four-wheel drive. And now, you know, like when you're on a big mountain of snow, the tires start to really dig. And it's like, now we're like up like this, you know. I'm like really digging, you know. And we're just driving this thing. And I'm like, what time you got to be to work? I'm like, I went from trying to impress my wife to like immediately, I'm embarrassed. Yeah, she was, I'm like, man, I'm embarrassed. And I just remember, I'm like, man, I drive a Jeep. This should not be the thing at all. But the only way that I could get unstuck was a push. We had to get out of the car. I'm in my church outfit, you know, trying to look nice. I'm in this deep snow. Katie's on the, you know, and I'm driving a stick shift. And I'm like, honey, put the foot on the clutch. Put the foot on the brake. And I'm back there, and I'm just trying to shove it. I'm like, throw that thing in neutral. Let's just push. And I remember just pushing, and it rock. Push, and it would rock. Push, and it would rock. But it would just want to keep. It just wanted to stay where I dug my tires in. But I just kept pushing. I said, put your foot on that gas. Put your foot on that gas. And I'll keep pushing. And it just started to wiggle out of that space slowly. Amen. With all my strength. I'm pushing behind here, hoping not to die and her roll over my leg or something. But I've come to speak to you this morning that a lot of us have dug our tires into a snowbank. And the Holy Ghost has come for me to tell you this morning that he's coming to give you a push. Amen. That you can't do it alone. So stop trying to do it alone. The Holy Spirit has come to be your helper, and he will always help you. But I wanted to declare to you this morning that if you are stuck, get your foot on that gas pedal and serve God, and the Holy Ghost will come behind you and push you to where he's wanting to take you. Amen? Amen. But I wanted to talk to you about somebody in the scripture that me and you can relate to, I think, especially for me, because I've not always gotten it right. And I've not been perfect. There is no perfect Christian. But I do believe that once you come into a relationship with Christ Jesus, it is heavenward, right? I'm not saying it might be baby steps, but once you get Christ into your life, he is changing you and molding you into the image of his son. And you are moving forward. But sometimes on this journey forward, we find ourselves sometimes stuck. And it seems to be the thing that gets us stuck is this nasty word called failure. I don't know why, but it just seems like when we fail, it seems like the vision of where we want to go in our life becomes blinded, because no longer do we see ourselves in the light of what we thought. Because I failed. I might not be good enough to get there because I failed. And that's not the case. But here you have Peter. Can you imagine, just for a second, being Peter, walking with Jesus for 3 years, watching him do the ministry that he's doing over and over, over and over. You see him heal people with blind eyes, and now they're seeing. Deaf ears opening up. People, he sees Lazarus come out of the grave and sees somebody go from death to life. But yet, Peter's sitting at that final table. Jesus, I'm not going to deny you, but here you have Jesus comes up to Peter, and by the rooster crows, like, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, no, I'll never do that. Oh, I will never deny you, Jesus. And I could just imagine Jesus shaking his head. Come on, man. Are you serious? I know all things. You're going to deny me. No, I won't do it. Sure enough, we all know he denies him 3 times. And here's how you know when your tire has gotten dug into the ground is when you find him in John 21:1-19. This is what happens. He denies him 3 times. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way that Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the 2 other disciples were together. And he said, I'm going fishing. This is Kodiak. Yeah. I'm going fishing. But the issue with this was when Jesus called Peter, he said, drop your nets. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. This is your old life. So he's walked with Jesus consistently for 3 years, but he's failed because he thought he loved Jesus with everything. But he failed, and he says, I'm going fishing. I don't know who I came to speak to this morning, but ever since Pastor called me to preach, God has laid a burden on my heart, and I feel like I'm talking to somebody specifically in this house this morning, because they felt Peter felt like a failure, and he kept returning back to his old life. I feel like I'm talking to somebody this morning that has just been trying to serve Jesus. They've been trying to follow this thing, but they just keep messing it up. And they're like, you know what? And maybe you found yourself this morning. I'll try to come to church this morning, but after this, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm just going to go back to what I used to do. I'm going to go back to those old friends. I'm going to go back to those old stomping grounds. I'm going to pick up the bottle. I'm just going to smoke. I'm just going to do whatever that pleases me. But I've come to tell you this morning that Jesus has not brought you this far to leave you where you're at. You serve a God that loves you and that knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows you're coming and you're going. You're sitting up and you're laying down. He says the thoughts he thinks towards us as numerous as the sand on a seashore. He is in control. And here in the scripture, Jesus is now rose again. And I just love this. He goes to the beach, starts cooking some fish, and he sees from afar them fishing, and they're not being successful. Can you just imagine that he's just sitting there from the beach, and he just calls out, you know. He says, friends. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you had any fish? They said, no. I could just from afar off, no. Sucks. We got nothing. Throw your nets to the right side of the boat and you'll find some. I'm going to listen to somebody standing on a shore who's not in the boat. I'm like looking in the water. What are you talking about? How can you see from the shore? Throw your nets to the right side of the boats. I can just hear the guys in the boat. What is this guy? Who does he think he is? And when they did, you know, when you tried everything you could do. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm talking to some people that I've tried everything and I'm not satisfied. So somebody yells out, hey, throw to that side. I already did that. When you're desperate. Okay. Throw it in. Oh my goodness. As soon as they threw it in, it said, when they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed him in the boat. Peter denied. The last time he saw Jesus, he told Jesus, I will never deny you. Walks with him, and then Jesus gets taken. And Peter just starts to deny him, acting like he didn't know him. But here you have Jesus, Peter, face-to-face again after his betrayal. After his betrayal. And you know, you would think Jesus would just, man, you denied me. You know what I mean? Like, how many of us think in our failure that God is just so mad? He's just mad. Oh, you really burned it this time. Huh. It's not how Jesus handled it. It's not how he handled it. He just walks up to him, and they have this conversation that just blows me away. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to him, and he gave him some fish. So he starts making breakfast for him, you know. That's a good sign, right? You think somebody's mad at you, and then they start cooking for you. And they're like, you know, I want to invite you over. I want to have you over. And you're like, probably the whole time you're thinking, he's like, wow, he's really going to lay into me. He says, come and have some breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to him. Kind of like I could just see him doing the same thing that he did at the Last Supper. He's like, you messed this up, but I'm about to restore you. We're going to do the same thing over. God's going to walk us back a couple steps to launch us. Now the third time Jesus appeared, this was the third time that disciples, after he was raised from the dead. And when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all of these? What? And as he's probably choking on some fish, and his fish. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Of course I do. Jesus said, feed my lambs. The third time, Jesus says it, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now he's getting irritated. Yes, I love you. All right. Feed my sheep. Very, very truly I tell you, when you were younger and you were dressed yourself and when you went where you wanted, but when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death that Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Take out the name Simon Peter and put yours. Jesus saying, and I'll say it for my name. Zach, do you love me? Of course I do. What about you? Because in your failure, Jesus doesn't come with a stone. He comes with his hand. Let's do this again. Do you really? Do you love me? Okay. I take it. No, every time that you denied him, he's coming. You denied him 5 times. Do you? Okay, I'm reinstating you for each time that you denied me. I got your hand. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? Because where God is going to take somebody in this room, you need to be able to follow the Holy Spirit and hold his hand. And he's ready to come and reinstate some people in this room that says, I failed. I messed this up. I jacked this up. I went back fishing. I did the things that I used to do before I was saved. And I'm kind of losing my way. I thought I followed Christ, but I kept kind of drifting. And the Holy Spirit's coming this morning not to say, you're stupid. He's coming to say, will you try again? Will you follow me? Will you do it? Because what I have for you, it's going to be amazing. It's a hope, and it's a future. It's a plan and a purpose that he has for you. But you have to let go of the nets. You got to stop looking back on what you used to have, because when God gets ready to take you where he's got you going, you're not going to miss it, because God has a plan that is going to shock your lives. It's going to be amazing because he loves you. Amen. He loves you and loves you so much that he's not willing to leave you where you dug your tire. Nothing worse than looking at somebody stuck on a snow mound, grinding their tires. You know, you see somebody stuck in Kodiak, you just want to, you're like, man, let's go get the wench, you know, let's go get some help. Let's get this guy out of this. It looks so bad. I could see him looking down from heaven going, yeah, that's bad, you know? But he doesn't want to leave us there. And I feel like the Holy Spirit, and I want to close, so if I can have the worship team come back up. in Acts. And I want to, and just because I wrote this. And when I wrote this, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. Because somebody was like, yeah, really? Like, I felt somebody like daring me in my spirit. Like, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good, Zach. What do you mean the Holy Spirit's ready to come with his hand like this? I've tried that before, Zach. I've really followed after him. You know, I've done this before. And that's why the Holy Spirit had me write this verse. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, you have Peter who goes from denying Jesus to have this beach encounter with Jesus where Jesus kind of reinstates him and says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He says, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And now Jesus ascends back into heaven, and now you have Peter, right? God knows what he has for our futures. He knows what his plan for our lives, plans to prosper us, give us a hope and a future. And now Peter drops the nets. He's up in the upper room. Holy Ghost has moved on him. God's changed his life. And now he gets up in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and preaches a message that changed a whole community. It said, actually, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What? Feel the Holy Spirit. If you don't take his hand this morning, what are you possibly missing out on? Hallelujah. What thing are you possibly missing in your future that Jesus has said that you're right on the door of opening? Your marriage is right on the door of being at its happiest it's ever been. Your kids are getting ready to follow Jesus like they've never been before. You know, because you've been having those nights, those sleepless nights. Just, God, please, will you touch his heart? Will you calm him down? You're getting ready. God's right here getting ready to pull some people through some addictions today. Those things that you're like, I don't know. But here's Peter. Gets up to preach, and I could think on that beach moment where he's failed, he's like, I'll never follow Jesus again. I'm just going to go up my boat. I'm going to hide because I'm done. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but God's getting ready to say, pour that out. Pour that bottle out. Quit those drugs. His grace is sufficient. I serve a God who has almighty strength. There is no one but him. His strength can help you in any scenario. My God is creator God. He sees you where you are, and he can pull you up out of the mud and tell you, dust off yourself, sons and daughters, because what I have for you is going to take you to the next direction, to lead people after me. Mom or dad, what God is getting ready to do in your life, your kids are going to look like, what in the world did God do? We serve a God who is ready to move us forward. He does not like to see us stuck where we're at and not lend a helping hand. Will you trust him today? Will you trust him today? Maybe you're accepting Christ for the first time, or maybe you're like, I messed it up too many times. Can I just give you a beautiful scripture? See, Jesus' blood is not just good enough, or it's not just for the forgiveness of your sins. And that's just it, you know, because you know all those things you used to do and all that, and you feel all burdened from the sin. But I want to read you a scripture that rocked me to the core. It was Hebrews 9, 13 through 14. It says, the blood of goats and the bulls and of ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those that were ceremonially unclean, sanctified them so that they were outwardly clean. In the Old Testament, they used to do sacrifices, and that blood would be the payment for their sin. But how much more than will be the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleansed our conscience from the acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. If you put your faith on Christ Jesus this morning, yes, your sins will be forgiven, but your conscience will be cleared. I've come this morning to put the devil on notice. He will not have our mind. He will not have our future. He will not have our future. Amen? I'm taking back my talents. I'm taking back my treasures that God has given me. Feel the Holy Ghost. God is saying, I'm coming to wipe the conscience clean, because for some reason you got saved and God forgave you of your sins, but your conscience is saying, well, yeah, you did this, and yeah, you did this, and the enemy keeps coming, yeah, you did this, and yeah, you did that, and yeah, you did this. But the Holy Ghost is saying, no, my blood is so good, it will clear your mind and give you peace. Amen? So this is what I want to do. I want to have a special altar call. And this is why it's special. They're going to lead us into a song that says, I am moving forward. I don't know what you need to move forward from. Maybe it's failure. But we have altars open that you can come in and pray. But maybe for some of you, you might need to just stand up and sing this song, and that's your altar call. Maybe you need to have a chair altar for you, where you're at your chair or whatever. But I want to do a special, just take 5 minutes to respond. Not to just hear the message, but to respond. Yes, God, I am taking your hand, because I don't know about you, but when I got low, I did not want to go back to my old ways if I had to stay here until I got what God had for me. That's what I needed to do. Don't leave this house without taking the extended hand of mercy. Because if you don't, if you keep looking over your shoulder and looking at your past, Lot's wife died. And if you didn't already know it, what you've been feeling when you look over is that death creep coming up on you. But I declare this morning, not for you. Not for you this morning. God's grace and his mercy is upon this house for such a time as this. So if you need to come to the altars, do it. If you need to take this next 5 minutes to pray in your chair, do it. Let's sing this song.